The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Vern Bloyd of KOKX Radio in Keokuk and John Cruz of the Anamosa Journal Eureka. The first question will come from KOKX's Vern.
Yes, Senator Grassley, recently Great River Road south of Montrose had some slides on the rock slide. The Great River Road is a part of the federal way. They've had some some efforts to get some funding for that. What is maybe your opinion on that and about the funding and anything to do with the Great River Road?
Yeah. Well, if it had been 5-6 years ago, we had a process through the appropriation process called earmarks. But the 2010 election, that was a big issue all over the country. And so both political parties decided to do away with earmarks. But an earmark would have said that we're going to appropriate X number of dollars for the Great River Road to accomplish a certain thing. In this particular instance, probably the rock slide you're talking about, or for other reasons. But now we don't have earmarks. So if the appropriate people in charge of the road file a grant application, and I presume that would be to the Department of Transportation, then my office, and I'm sure almost any congressional office, not only in Iowa but in most states, would probably support the grant application for the bureaucracy. But that tends to be more of an administrative decision than it does a political decision. Like I'm a political leader, so I get involved in it. We're recommending for our constituents, advocating for our constituents, but we can't dictate to the executive branch of government how to do it. John. And by the way, John, did you cover my Anamosa Hospital meeting,
no,
or was that somebody else?
No, that was the other reporter we have here,
okay.
Robert.
Okay. So tell Robert I appreciated his being there.
I'll make sure I do that.
You go ahead.
All right. So, Senator Grassley, recently you spoke at the Judiciary Committee, and you talked about national security, and more importantly, you talked about encryption technology and how companies are encrypting many of their databases in order to prevent them from being hacked. And you said that this posed a considerable threat, or at least you were against it in a way, because you felt that it also upset national security.
Yeah.
And so you said that there needed to be some changes, and you, more importantly, promoted a compromise because you wanted to promote privacy, but you also want to promote national security. And I was wondering if you could get a little more specific about that as far as specifically what kind of compromise would you make?
Well, right now, neither this senator or any other senators that I know of, or the FBI or the Department of Justice, are suggesting it ought to be legislation. This is the problem is created by enhanced technology that we all respect, so that our privacy through the use of our telephone is followed. And so I'll continue to answer my question where you left off. You didn't say it this way, but you referred to the balance that I talk about between law enforcement law enforcement and national security on one hand, and constitutional rights of privacy under the Fourth Amendment, the other one. And in the the immediate problem comes because ISIS is using Twitter, and they have contact with 22,000 people between Europe and the United States. There's somebody in every state, the FBI director says, communicating with ISIS on Twitter. If ISIS feels that they are a possible convert, then you get to this encryption the FBI can't follow the person anymore, and that's where the term going black comes from. So what we're doing through the hearing yesterday isn't trying to get an immediate solution, but there's a lack of understanding of the law enforcement national security problems versus the constitutional rights to privacy issue, and we want to start a conversation. And quite frankly, the White House, this senator, the FBI director, and probably a lot of my colleagues are hoping that there is a technological response to it. But let's say that there is a response for law enforcement. It wouldn't be any different than for 200 years, or let's just say since the intervention of the telephone and following criminal activity on the telephone. You have to go to court. You have to get a warrant. The judge has to be an independent arbiter, and you got to prove probable cause. That satisfies the Constitution, and then you can follow a criminal. But right now, you don't bother to get a warrant because the technology doesn't allow you to follow the criminal. So it's very important if we're the FBI director was very clear that in several instances they've been able to keep Americans from being killed by some of these advocates for ISIS. That ISIS said in three words, your goal is to kill, kill, kill. And that means kill people here in America. One of them you read about in Boston, where a guy, they were able to intercept a telephone call by the usual constitutional way. And they heard the guy say, you know, well, anyway, let's leave it this way. They were able to preempt him from stabbing. His goal was to kill two policemen that day. Back to Vern.
Recently, they talked about the recent up at the pipeline in North Dakota, and what is the progress on that? I know there's a lot of people going in southeast Iowa going, going to go through the property on that. And what I know they've had some surveys on that.
Well, now you're talking about the Bakken pipeline.
Yes.
Usually at the federal level, we get asked about the XL pipeline across the Canadian border down to Oklahoma. I voted for that. And the reason Congress is involved in that one is because it crosses the boundary with Canada. But Congress is not involved in the Bakken pipeline that you're asking about. And so that's going to be decided by the Utility Commission in Des Moines, Iowa, and there won't be any federal government involvement in that decision. Back to John.
Senator, recently you heard about, or at least you heard from some farmers on the avian flu. And particularly you heard about the frustration of many farmers in the avian flu. And when you heard them, you said it was productive and provided an opportunity to hear directly from producers impacted by this outbreak. But you also talked about areas that need an improvement. I was wondering if you can go more into the specifics in areas after hearing those farmers you think could have been improved in dealing with avian flu.
Well, let me tell you what Congress would be involved in. And I think the other one is coming directly from the Department of Agriculture without any congressional action. Number one, we've learned in Congress is probably going to take some more money. We've already probably have spent $400 million. Now, that money was appropriated last year for this year, but we may have to add to it. The other thing is there's not an insurance program for avian flu or other poultry things like there is sometimes for pigs and for cattle, as an example. And so I wouldn't say that we've come to a decision of having an insurance program, and that would be like grain, as an example. Or we've even had some help for other livestock programs, but not for poultry. And insurance is different than the indemnity program, where they're going to be paid $2.43 for bird repopulation, and that's one area. Now, the area that I think is the most significant is what the U.S. Department of Agriculture says they've learned from this first time ever breakout and the most damaging livestock disaster in the history of the country. And that is, once you get avian flu in a house, go there day one. Don't wait for day two or day three because that spreads the virus and euthanize these birds very, very quickly. And that's the two things that those aren't the only things that came out of the hearing, but I think those are the two most important things. Thank you, Vern and John, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.